Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company.
Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun, financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and I'm so excited to be back here season 3 on bizradio.us. So always, I want to thank the V team. I've been doing a little bit more on social media, so I hope you guys are liking the stories. And we're also on TikTok now, so we're really trying to push to hit over 4,000 downloads before we hit season 4 in the fall. And I know today's show is going to help us get over that hump. So today's guest has worked in a social justice capacity for almost 20 years. She is currently a program coordinator for WNC Pathways, specifically the Consultants of Color program, where I met this beautiful young lady. And she is also the owner of Change the Rubric. This guest has served as the pretrial release manager of Buncombe County, as well as the director of administration, customer services supervisor, and referral coordinator in the nonprofit health sector, serving 18 counties in Western North Carolina. Wow. As an avid volunteer in various local organizations, she is committed to continued personal growth and service in the community. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my friend, Ms. Nakonda Garcia. Welcome, Nakonda.
Oh, good morning, Veronica. Thank you so much for having me. I am honored to be here with you all.
Girl, I'm honored to have you. I'm just a little snippet of your bio. And I'm like, wow, girl, you've been doing a lot over these last 20 plus years.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't feel that way. You know, it's for me, it just feels like life. But, you know, when you put it on paper, it does look like,
Just a little bit. So that leads us right into, we always start the show asking the guests to tell us about you, where you're from, and your story that led you to entrepreneurship.
Okay. So that's a loaded question. Let's dive in. Where am I from? I'm a native of Asheville. My family goes about 4 or 5 generations back and started out as sharecroppers in Mars Hill. I'm a single child. I have 3 children. I'm a mother of 3 plus a dog, 90-pound dog that I count as human. So I hope you don't hear her in the background. I hope she didn't see a squirrel, because no matter how many doors I close, you might hear her bark.
Yes.
And so, like, I grew up in Hillcrest. I'm proud of that.
Yes, Hillcrest.
You know, started out, went to Randolph Elementary School. And at that time, it was like, I didn't realize what a jewel it was. It was an all-Black school with mostly Black educators. Wow. That's rare these days. Mm-hmm. And then at the age of about 11 or 12, my parents moved to South Asheville, the Shiloh community. Mm-hmm. And so I love that the Shiloh community, frequented the community centers, and that was my second home. Mm-hmm. I graduated from TC Robertson, but what that experience did that I didn't know, it was a social experiment for me, going from an all-Black neighborhood and Black schools and Black teachers to an all-white neighborhood. Well, the neighborhood wasn't white, but the school was. Mm-hmm. All-white school and teachers. And so what it did at an early age that I reflect on now is it challenged all of the assumptions and biases that I had for both. Wow. And gave me a grounding for who I am today. So that's a little background. And then I went off to college at NC State. And came back to Asheville looking for a job. And I literally was walking down the street of Haywood Road in West Asheville. Just going to every business, seeing if anyone was hiring.
I know that's right. Nobody does that anymore. Just door to door.
Just door to door. And what was interesting is that I went to this building that I had seen in every, you know, all the time, but never noticed. You ever had that happen?
Yes.
You see it, but you don't see it. And so I get to this building and it's been there for years and it's a medical office. And I started talking to a lady in the lobby and she was just telling me how impactful the place had been to her life, how the people had been so kind to her. And this all, I was like, you know, after hearing her talk about it, I was like, this is it. This is where I want this job. And I got it. And I started working at the front desk as a receptionist. And I think we had about 5,000 patients at the time.
Wow.
But what I loved about it was it served my community. Like it was, it started in Pisgahview Apartments. Miss Minnie Jones, who used to march with Dr. Martin Luther King, and she was the first person to integrate public housing here in Asheville. I didn't know all these things. It just
You're teaching me something in Women's History Month. I didn't know about that. You said Miss Minnie Jones?
Yes, Miss Minnie Jones. Check her out. She and Carlos Gomez and Dr. Polly Ross started that doctor's office, and it was exclusively meant for the underserved. And I had no clue. So you had to live in 28806 because 28806 was the lowest income community at that time.
And that's my zip code currently. Shout out to 28806. God bless you for letting me get a house. Thank you.
That's okay. Repping that 28806, honey.
Come on, West Side, till we die. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
It's all good. And the only exception to that was you to live outside, live in the 18 county area, and be transgender or HIV positive.
Wow.
For reasons that I did not know. But what I learned was that exception was made because of the stigma that comes with those things, and they wanted people to have access to healthcare without experiencing stigma. So that experience really laid the foundation for my social justice work, even though it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. I worked alongside of people that, you know, were typically marginalized and developed the true love and understanding. And that sort of spearheaded my career and how I look at people and life in general.
Wow. There's so much I could touch on, Nakonda, where one, I just want to say, wow, fifth generation Asheville. Whoa. Mm-hmm. You really don't see that a lot. And then the history that you have when it comes to social justice, you're not just doing this when it got cool, you know, in recent and everybody now wants to be woke. The fact that this is what you've always have done. And it's almost like you were destined to do it. You were just drawn to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. And I like that you're still doing that while also being able to be an entrepreneur with your business. So I love the name of your business, Change the Rubric. How did you come up with that name? And please tell the listeners, like, what are your services? Are you taking new clients? How can we support your business?
Okay. Well, Change the Rubric came out of just lived experience. You know, like I did the 20 years in healthcare, and then I went to Buncombe County in the criminal justice sector where, you know, I used what I learned to create processes that were equitable and opened access and provided more support in my sphere of influence. And what I realized is, you know, the ultimate human beings are human beings, and organizations were created by human beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even organizations with the best intent are swimming in the waters of what we all been swimming in, which is social constructs, hierarchies.
Mm-hmm.
And some are, you know, I'm not saying any of them are bad, but what I realize is me as a person in my own agency, understand that, you know, people are people and not intended to be managed.
Yes.
We're supposed to manage resources and not people. And so that's something that I learned when I supervised. You know, I worked my way up from front desk, and, you know, I always supervise large teams. And one of the biggest things that became a joy when I learned to let go of the mental constructs in my mind of like needing to have control and ownership and the scarcity mindset and whatever. When I started to develop leaders and delegate and like really get to know them and help them like see in themselves what I saw and maybe some more, that gave me fuel. That still gives me energy. That like while I'm still on my journey to becoming, doing that for others as well, like fuels my soul. So that led to change the rubric where, you know, I do some consulting work and I do it intuitively. Like I am taking new clients, but I don't go looking for people. People come to me because I build relationship with people.
You definitely do. I tell people Nakonda's the plug. Like even if it's in a completely different realm from what I know Nakonda, I'm like, well, just talk to her because she knows people and she can get you in the right direction. So I appreciate that about you because, again, that's one of the many strengths that you have with also just being here for as long as you have been. You've built so many good relationships. And one thing I will tell you, being somewhat of a newer person in Asheville, I moved here in 2016. You get a lot of people coming in Asheville real hot and they leave really fast too. So it says a lot that you've been here doing the same work. And I can't find nobody that says anything bad about Ms. Nakonda Garcia. Okay. So I just appreciate the work that you're doing and the, and how consistent you are, because I know in this work, it can be draining and you have to, as much as you said, it feeds your soul. We want to make sure that, you know, we're pouring into you as well.
Oh, I can appreciate that. And you definitely do with that energy you bring every time I'm in a space with you.
Either I tell people you either gonna love it or you gonna hate it. So I appreciate that from you. And I, that leads us to how we met. You know, Nakonda reached out to me some time ago about this amazing program that WNC Pathways has here called the Consultants of Color. And you were kind enough to ask me to facilitate a few workshops and, you know, do some coaching. So I would love if you could tell the listeners about what is the Consultants of Color, why it's necessary, and if folks are interested, how they can sign up to participate.
Yes, gladly. So that leads into my body of work with WNC Nonprofit Pathways. Shortly after I left the county, I had the pleasure of meeting some of the steering committee members and Jeanette Butterworth, the senior consultant at Pathways, because they were looking to bring on a consultant to help with programming and curriculum development and things that I had some experience in. And what drew me to the work with Pathways the most is that it tied into that social justice spirit side of me. Because at that time, you know, she had given me a lot of background about what Pathways does, and Pathways helps nonprofits build their capacity and become stronger. The whole 18 county region, which I had already been familiar with from my 20 years in healthcare. So those things sort of lined up. But what I really loved about it at that time, you know, I learned that they had started this Consultants of Color program out of a explicit awareness that the consultants that they rely on to help provide support for the nonprofits in the 18 county region were predominantly white. Like being able to acknowledge that and then also taking steps to build up consultants to bring diverse voices into those 18 counties was like, okay, I can rock with this. I can rock with this, because this was, and this was happening before George Floyd, before it was a fad, you know, before it was on the radar. Like that resonated with me. And so the Consultants of Color cohort, there was a small cohort that happened in 2017 before I came on to Pathways. And when I came on, you know, one of the things that they were very passionate about was making sure that to start that back up again. And so I did, and brought in people that were a wide range and variety of skill sets, of levels of consulting, because what we often don't name is that people of color are often doing the work, especially the boots on the ground work, and have the lived experience and expertise, but do it for free.
Period.
So,
yeah,
I was like, okay, well, we're bringing some of those into the fold. We're bringing some that are doing it and doing it on a larger scale so that they can network, sharpen each other, and support the nonprofits in the region. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we met, because I, you know, reached out to you after getting some information from our first cohort, like trying to figure out where the gaps were mm-hmm. that I could help fill in, or not even gaps, like how could I amplify the program? And one of the things that came out of the first cohort, and I dropped some names from that first cohort. You'll know them, honey. They some big people around here. I ain't gonna say nothing.
Right, right.
There's all Jimenez, leaving yeah. cows. Yeah. Phyllis Hudley. Like, these were people that were doing things and still are. Like Aisha Adams. Those yes. people were in the first cohort. Like, and they are, it's Miko Ambrose Murray. Like, who doesn't know these people that are mm-hmm. doing the work in Asheville, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, in talking with these people in the first cohort, you know, they're doing well. They're living their missions. They're changing community. And they were like, you know what? I wish I would have known a little bit more about the financial piece.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have known then what I know now. And hence, that's why I reached out to you, because it was like, well, we have to get someone that can sort of ask, you know, that people can ask those questions and lean on for the, you know, the have real talk about finances, because we often don't do that in communities of color, because most of the time it's because we never really had money to manage.
Exactly. You know?
But then, you know, I was like, so let me reach out to Veronica Edwards. I had heard all kinds of good things about you from Wade.
Oh, praise God.
Yep. And I was like, let me reach out to Veronica, because the other important part was, you know, I really wanted to bring in someone of color in finance.
Yes.
And I don't know if you know, but y'all are like unicorns. We don't Girl. Have a lot of people of color.
Yes. I just want to shout out. India Pearson, who was running for city council. I had just met her mm-hmm. in person, and she is a woman of color from Asheville. That's an amazing bookkeeper, caterer, all of these things. Mother of five, I believe. And so, yeah, it's like outside of India, I really don't know many people of color specifically in accounting and finance. So that's why I so appreciate you, Nakonda, for reaching out, and also just your appetite for education. Because when we get all said and done, Nakonda might be a junior accountant, because you are very oriented and you have the interest. And so that's something I'm definitely looking into as another stream of business, is training more bookkeepers, especially bookkeepers of color.
Holler at your girl. I am interested. And, you know, like the coaching that you provided me was so helpful. Like, you are so easy to you explain things very well, very clear. You make it, you know, you take that stress out of money. When people think numbers, mm-hmm. sometimes it comes with a connotation of like a level of difficulty that may be maybe, you know, a little scary for people, but you definitely broke it down in ways that I can understand.
Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, that's something I tell people, if I can do accounting, anybody can do it. It's just that it's a foreign language. So a lot of times, if we're children and we're learning a foreign language younger, it's easier. But a lot of times we go through our whole life until we have a business or until we're ready to get a house, and we really never had that financial literacy. So Nakonda, before we go, we know we always ask the guests to give the listeners some tips, some jewels. And with your many years of amazing experience across all areas, but now you're really settling into your entrepreneurship journey, what is something that you wish somebody told you at the beginning of that journey that you would like to share with the listeners? Maybe if those listening are just starting their business, or they're thinking about getting into it, but they might be a little nervous.
What I would say, it's often that when we think about wanting to step out on our own, we often are visioning trying to create something new in mm-hmm. our mind, or what I mean to say is, we often don't take the time to pause to really think about the experiences and the resources that we currently have that brought us to this moment. And that's often where your glory lies. That's where your peace lies, because nothing, you know, the gifts that are gifted to us are not foreign. It's not something that we have to create. They're already in us, and life has a way of giving us the training that we need to do exactly what we're supposed to do. So I would say, like, take a pause, look at your resources, look at your experiences, because all of those things didn't happen haphazardly.
Yes. I definitely have had one of my cousins was on the show some months back, Reverend Tamekia Milton, and she says there's power in the pause. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes we're just going. And people are like, well, I don't know what my passion is. And I don't know what my purpose is. All these P's. You got to pause. You got to figure out, well, what exactly has happened that led me to this? It wasn't by chance that you walked by that building and you went inside and you got the job, you know, and that you followed through with that and that you continued even after 20 years of experience that, you know, I still, there's something still pulling at me that, that all of these things helped lead me to that point. But Nakonda, I'm just so thankful for you and the work that you're doing in Western North Carolina. And as complimentary you are to me, I have to be the same to you. I love your energy. I love that you just keep it straight up, which I can appreciate. You're not going to get 50 shades of gray with Nakonda. You're going to get black or white. And I'm the same way. And I appreciate that because we really don't have time to waste, especially in the work that we're doing. So just like that, Nakonda, we're already to the end of the show. And we definitely are going to have you back. You know, I'm all about a quarterly segment, and I would love to keep talking with you about some of the things that don't get highlighted in regards to social justice, especially in Asheville, that we kind of want to keep people accountable to, especially like reparations, child, but that's a whole nother story. But but again, for anybody listening that wants to get in contact with you, how can we reach you if you have a website, social media, all that stuff?
So if you want, if you are a nonprofit and would like capacity building support, you can reach me at Nakonda at Nonprofit Pathways. If you are looking for leadership development, and it's nonprofit, Nakonda at nonprofitpathways.org. If you are looking for leadership development or coaching, you can reach me at changetherubric@gmail.com. And to be determined. I'll let you know about the website. It's something that I've never wanted to do. And mentors have been saying, you have to do it. You have to do it. So that's in development. And so I'll update you at our quarterly meeting whenever that happens.
Yes. Well, thank you again for the work that you're doing. And regardless if you have a website or not, you're the plug. So we know how to get in contact with you, and your work speaks for itself. So thank you again. And I hope that we have another 20 years of you here in Asheville doing the work that you have been doing, because it's very much appreciated and needed.
Oh, I appreciate you so much. I'm sending you positive energy and light until we meet again, my friend.
Yes. And I just want to thank all the listeners for tuning in to bizradio.us for the Veronica Edwards Show on Wednesdays across all platforms is when it airs. And if you missed the live airing, you can listen to all prior shows at veronicaedwards.buzzsprout.com.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.